messed up choral version of the Soviet hymn or the Russian national anthem played over and over in a loop every 3 minutes and 28 seconds via the remote in Holland. 11032 USB.
This is Stuart Moxham of Young Marble Giants, and you are listening to 90.7 FM WGXC Acre.
Tune in the Radio Art Hour, Saturdays at 3 p.m. on WGXC, a show where art is not just on the radio, but is the radio. The Radio Art Hour draws from the Wavefarm Broadcast Radio Art Archive, an online resource that aims to identify, coalesce, and celebrate historical and contemporary international radio artworks made by artists around the world. Tune in the Radio Art Hour, Saturdays at 3 p.m. on WGXC 90.7 FM.
The Catskill Town Board meets every first Tuesday of the month at 6:30 p.m. at the Catskill Town Hall and holds a committee meeting the third Wednesday of the month at 6:30 p.m. You can turn out in person at the Catskill Town Hall to speak at these meetings or tune in to a live web stream through the Catskill Town Board and WGXC. Go to wgxc.org/listen or click on the listen button at wgxc.org to tune in to any of the Catskill Town Board meetings, the first Tuesday of the month at 6:30 p.m. and the third Wednesday of the month at 6:30 p.m. at wgxc.org and townofcatskillny.gov.
Wayfarm respectfully and humbly acknowledges the past, present, and future Indigenous peoples on whose ancestral lands Wayfarm and our radio station, WGXC, operate and broadcast. The Mohicans named themselves the people of the waters that are never still, following their arrival along the Mohicanituck, the great ebb tide river also known as the Hudson. The Mohicans stewarded this land over many generations in dynamic communication and interaction with diverse Indigenous peoples, including the Haudenosaunee Mohawk and the Munsee Lenape. Mohican descendants today live in communities in Ontario, Wisconsin, and Oklahoma. For further information on Mohican history and the contemporary community of the Stockbridge Munsee Band of Mohican Indians, please visit Mohican.com.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Marcus DeGrazia Acupuncture of Austerlitz, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. Become a WGXC sustaining supporter today. Go to wgxc.org and click donate. Thank you for your support.
About the Campbell. Did it? I got it. Campbell appeared. Covering minutes. Hitting him.
Hello there. Is that Eddie?
Hello. Who's that, Professor?
Yeah, man. What's happening there in England?
Oh, damn good to hear you, Helby. Nothing at all save a boring bloody music on the radio. And you know how one loves one's black music.
I mean, they're playing the same thing that they were playing
same,
5 years ago.
Same old thing, dear fellow.
Shit. What, so you ain't got no choice on the radio.
Well, no choice is no bloody choice, you know. So, El, what are you doing at the moment yourself, old fella?
I've got some new stuff, man. I wanna bring it out. I wanna get it played over there. I think the people ought to hear it. You know?
What is it like? What is it exactly?
Well, you could call it what you like. I don't have a name for it, but it sounds something like this. Have a listen.
From the WGXC newsroom, This is the WGXC News Update. Steve Hughes reports for the Times Union that in Coymans, the Carver Company have backed off of their proposal for an 80-acre wind turbine facility there, and developers now say they will not need the town to rezone a 364-acre wildlife management area. In southern Albany County, the wind turbine facility project would be just north of the Port of Coymans between Route 144 and the Hudson River. Carver Companies now says they can keep the manufacturing portion of the project on land owned by Holcomb just north of the Port of Coymans between Route 144 and the Hudson River that is already zoned for manufacturing. The developers hope to manufacture more than 200 wind turbine blades a year and create up to 600 jobs in Coymans. Read more about this story in the Times Union. Mid-Hudson News reports that there is at least one local election with results still pending. Currently in Wallkill in Ulster County, incumbent Republican George Serrano and Democrat Neil Meyer are tied in the town supervisor election. Both have 1,910. Next week, the Board of Elections will do a hand recount and say they will have the results by December 2nd. So either the incumbent Serrano or the town board member and former deputy supervisor of the town, Meyer, will become the next supervisor. And you can read more about this story in Mid-Hudson News. Kate Lisa reports for New York State of Politics that in the election held this year in October and November, only between 20 and 30% of voters turned out to cast ballots. Backers of a proposal to move local elections to a year when turnout is naturally higher because of high-profile presidential and Senate votes are still getting pushback from many local leaders who want to maintain the status quo. Moving local elections to even-numbered years is one of more than 150 bills passed that are waiting for a signature from Governor Kathy Hochul to become law. New York Public Interest Research Group Executive Director Blair Horner said, and I quote, "In a democracy, a representative democracy, you want to have the biggest turnout possible. We think it's easier for voters to remember that they're supposed to go to the polling place, particularly when there's high-profile election," end quote. Stephen Aquario, executive director of the State Association of Counties, says most county leaders across the state are opposed to moving local elections, saying, and I quote, "I think we need to respect their choice, their decisions, and not change laws because people in the Capitol think that they have a better view of how to control their behavior. People are motivated by their own behavior, by what their own values are, what matters to them, for whether or not they'll go to a voting machine and cast a ballot," end quote. Elections for city or village elections and for races for county clerk, sheriff, district attorneys, local judges, and others protected in the state constitution to be held in odd number years would not be moved if Hochul signs the bill. Read more about this story in New York State of Politics. And that wraps up the WGXC News Update. You can visit our website at WGXC.org for local weather updates, public meetings, a community calendar, or COVID-19 updates. And while you're there, please click on the donate button to become a WGXC sustaining supporter or make a one-time donation. From the WGXC newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day and a nice weekend.
Truth and journalists are the first casualties of the war on Gaza. I'm Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now! With Dennis Moynihan and our weekly Breaking the Sound Barrier podcast. Truth and journalists are the first casualties of the war on Gaza, as Israel's seven-week bombardment of the Gaza Strip has killed over 14,000 Palestinians, more than 5,000 of whom were children, courageous Palestinian journalists working in Gaza under unbelievably difficult and dangerous circumstances are being killed one by one. This week, a grim milestone was reached as the number of journalists killed in the conflict surpassed 50. While a negotiated pause gives civilians in Gaza a brief respite, and 50 Israeli hostages held in Gaza will be released, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has promised the violence will continue immediately afterwards. According to the Committee to Protect Journalists, CPJ, at least 53 journalists and media workers have been killed in what the organization calls, quote, the deadliest month for journalists since CPJ began gathering data in 1992, unquote. To date, 46 Palestinians, 4 Israelis, and 3 Lebanese reporters have been killed. 11 have been injured, 3 remain missing, and 18 Palestinian journalists have been arrested by Israel.
We've never seen anything like this. It's unprecedented.
Sharif Mansour, CPJ's Middle East and North Africa program coordinator, said on the Democracy Now! NewsHour.
And for journalists in Gaza specifically, the exponential risk is probably the most dangerous we have seen.
One of those killed was Ayat Khadoura, a 27-year-old independent journalist and podcast creator. She and her family were killed by an Israeli airstrike this week at home in northern Gaza.
This may be the last video for me,
Ayat said in Arabic in a video she posted.
Today, the occupation dropped phosphorus bombs on the Beit Lahia project area and scary sound bombs and threw evacuation notices in the area. And of course, almost the entire area has evacuated. Everyone started running madly in the streets. No one knows neither where they're going to or coming from. We're separated, of course. I and a few others remain at home while the rest have evacuated, and we don't know where they went. The situation is very scary. The situation is very terrifying. What is happening is very difficult. May God have mercy on us.
Holding back tears, Ayat Khadoura ended what would be her last video. Bilal Jadala, considered the godfather of Palestinian journalism, was killed in his car by an Israeli tank shell. Jadala was the chairman of the Gaza Press House, which trained young journalists.
Bilal Jadala helped us document this deadly pattern of journalists being killed by Israeli fire over 21 years.
Sharif Mansour said, describing a CPJ report released on May 11th, the first anniversary of the killing of Palestinian-American journalist Shireen Abu Akleh by an Israeli army sniper in the occupied West Bank.
On Sunday, he became a victim of this same deadly pattern when he was killed in his car. Jadala have also provided crucial safety equipment for journalists in order to do their job safely. And he opened the press house for journalists to use electricity and internet when there was no other place.
Bilal Jadala also facilitated the arrival and work of foreign journalists in Gaza, so his death will make it even harder for reporters to get in to report on the devastation of Gaza. Fair, accurate reporting is essential, especially in a time of war and collective punishment. A report on the current 4-day pause published by Politico included a short but revealing line attributed to an unnamed Biden administration official. Quote, there was some concern in the administration about an unintended consequence of the pause, that it would allow journalists broader access to Gaza and the opportunity to further illuminate the devastation there and turn public opinion on Israel, unquote. The U.S. media has primarily relied on reporting from inside Israel, venturing into Gaza only when embedded with the Israeli military, obligated to follow uniformed Israeli military spokespeople. What Palestinian would speak freely with a foreign journalist accompanied by an armed Israeli soldier? A condition of participating in this embedded reporting is that all footage must be reviewed and approved by Israeli military censors before being broadcast. What gets reported is little more than Israeli state propaganda. No amount of censorship, though, can suppress the scale of chaos and carnage. In one scene, journalist Salman al-Bashir of the Palestine News Agency was reporting that his colleague, Mohammed Abu Hattab, had been killed in an Israeli airstrike along with 11 members of his family. Clearly distraught during the live broadcast, al-Bashir tore off his blue helmet and protective vest labeled press and threw them to the ground.
These shields and helmets, they are merely slogans that we wear, and that is all. They don't protect any journalists.
Back in the studio, the news anchor interviewing al-Bashir wept as he spoke. The ceasefire will take place during the Thanksgiving holiday in the United States. As we mourn all those who've died in this conflict, let's give thanks to the journalists who continue to bring us the truth from Gaza at an enormous, unacceptably high price. I'm Amy Goodman with Dennis Moynihan.
And now, here is your WGXC Weekend Weather Report. On Sunday, there will be a chance of rain after 1 p.m. Otherwise, it will be partly sunny with a temperature high near 42 degrees and a light south wind increasing to 5 to 9 miles an hour in the morning. And on Sunday night, there will be rain with a temperature low of around 34 degrees. And on Monday, a chance of showers before 1 p.m. Otherwise, it will be partly sunny with a temperature high near 47 degrees. And that is your Weekend Weather Report from WGXC, 90.7 FM, radio for open ears in Greene and Columbia Counties.
And I'm here in the studio with my very special guest today here on Ginger Radio Hour, Kula Badila. Hi, Kula.
Hello. It's great to be here.
It's been so long. I feel like I first reached out to you in August.
Right.
And we've been trying to figure this out ever since. Mm-hmm. And now here it is.
And here we are. Divine. So,
it's so nice to have you here. Let me turn this down just a touch. Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm going to get my tea.
Yes.
So, Kula, mm-hmm. I'd like to, there are so many different ways to describe all of the things that you are.
Aw, thank you.
And I wanted to say that one of the reasons I really wanted to speak to you is I spotted your seeds. Like, it seems to me that you've left these seeds across Hudson and across this area in many, many different ways. Through Grow Black Hudson, which of course you're the founder of, but also through your music and your dance and your jewelry. What else am I forgetting? Anyway, the seeds are everywhere.
Yes.
And so I'm so pleased to have you here. And maybe we could begin. If you could describe to our audience your front porch, the plant porch, and what that's all about.
Yeah, so the plant porch is a, we try to make it like a very safe space and a representation of like community being able to go to your neighbor for something that you might need. And in this case, it holds a lot of plants, seedlings that we get donations from, all throughout the spring and summer for different people who want to come and learn how to grow. So, we'll have plants, we'll have seeds, water, soil, anything that's really donated, actually. Like, we'll just put it on the porch and be like, yo, this is here. And there's a really great trust system where people, they come and they take what they need. And and then we were able to continue that relationship of building as a community, like firsthand in person.
So which came first, the porch or Grow Black Hudson?
The porch was probably always been there. My family has been in Hudson since 97, and we've, come from a background of always working with community in some way. And as it started, it was through music and dance. My parents, came with Jata Jata, which is a traditional, like, folkloric storytelling, dancing, drumming, music, all of this. And, tried to build that here in Hudson and have built that here in Hudson. Community theater all throughout since 2008, I believe, or no, 98. And, just having, like, free experiences for community to come together and learn these arts, and especially as Black community, like, a lot of these roots that we're often like separated from. We wanted to bring that knowledge and awareness and pride and confidence, and like we come from a rich culture as well. So, it was like a desert in that kind of way of acknowledging our ancestry in Hudson. So I feel like my parents really built that to like build with community and relationships where people now that are like in politics or, doing all these other things in Hudson, like they started as little 7-year-olds playing like a tree in a play or something, So it's really awesome to see how that big seed planted has continued to help me be able to have, a home, all through these years. Also, my family would like house people or have our rehearsals in our home. Like, it's always just been a place that's been kind of this safe home that people can come to if they ever need anything, really, big mama house.
So this is what it sounds like you grew Grow Black Hudson out of, this foundation.
Yes.
That was the seedlings for Grow Black Hudson. So can you talk a little bit about what you do for that?
So Grow Black Hudson has been, a very, very heartfelt seed that came from a need to really, like, think about our health and how we're living and how we can come back into our independence and that relationship with the earth and with nature. And it was also inspired by, like, the need to heal, especially during that pandemic starting and a lot of riots of just highlighting Black voices, you know, and needs. So it came to that space of, like, you know, being able to do more, you know, because a lot of people, like, it's easy to talk about the things or see the problems or point them out and protest, but then, you know, just, like, seeing, like, what action can I actually take, you know? Like, there's already these seeds planted where my family, you know, my siblings have been doing amazing things, you know, and have built with community in all these ways. And I grew up doing, volunteering on different farms, like Germantown Farm, awesome. You know, I know a lot of people from there were supporting WGXC as they got started. So, you know, it's just a lot of connections with community that's always been happening. And that knowledge of working on the land, working on farms, like feeling that healing and that fun and that exchange that would happen. And then continuing, like, went to a Waldorf school that had a farm across the street, Hawthorne Valley, that also inspired just, like, working with the land in that way. And, you know, just wanting to bring that in when a lot of the healing was coming up of, like, what we need to heal as a people and as a society. And just, like, that stood out the most for me is, like, when I was able to be in my backyard with my siblings that were able to come home because, you know, things getting shut down, some of them were able to come and we were able to build a garden in our backyard and just to reconnect in that way and be together and everything that we learned and felt, like, it just gave so much, like, peace of mind and hope and faith in the way that life continues to grow. You know, like, it has its cycles, but you can bring it back in, you know, and you can learn so much from that growing cycle. So that inspired me when the pandemic hit, you know, and talking with my sister Gonda, she founded Black Hudson, which is something that continues to this day in Hudson that just brings a network for Black community to, like, exchange, you know, for, like, markets or different things that they're doing to just help put each other on for being aware of these things that are happening so they can have access to it. And, you know, she inspired me to, like, to bring it out more in that way as well, to, like, reach out and be like, oh yeah, like, there's this network, let's see these people that we've been with for all this time, see who wants to grow, see who wants to plant, and, like, actually learn this. And so many people were down, like, immediately, you know, and that felt like a real, like, start to a solution for the healing that was needed. And, you know, like, our family, because of that foundation, that safe house we built, it was very easy to, like, be able to be welcomed into other people's homes where they trusted the information and the exchange and the energy and just the conversations, you know, that we were able to talk about to, like, uplift ourselves and connect with this earth and how to grow our own food and with how to plant those seeds for ourselves in any way that we wanted to. I don't know if that answered the question.
It does. I mean, one of the things that I found really inspiring by following your Instagram and what you're doing on Facebook with Grow Black Hudson is, so we talked about your plant porch and how there are all these things that are available for people.
Mm-hmm.
But it's very clear, like, you just go directly to people.
Yeah.
Which, you know, when we think of community, when I think of community, I often think of community spaces,
mm-hmm.
like the library, a park, places where I go to see people.
Mm-hmm.
But you're just going to see people. In other words, like, yes, you're creating a community and a spot on your porch, but mm-hmm. you're also directly bringing food.
Mm-hmm.
I saw you bring you making the lemon ginger turmeric shots and bring them out to people.
Mm-hmm.
Can you talk a little bit about that? Because you are, what you're doing is outreach, but it's more than that. You're just going to people. You're talking to people.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's very important to me to come through as honest as I can, you know, with how I move. And yeah, like, from the start of building Grow Black Cuts in it, and just the work that we've done as a community, like, it always felt the best when I'm able to build a relationship with the people that I'm talking to and working with, and already having these relationships too, like, you know, that helps to support keeping that honesty, you know, in the work that's happening. And so for me, and even though, you know, a lot of people are like, oh, you know, Girl Black Hudson can be so big, like, you can build this and, like, make it, you know, official and, you know, quote unquote, whatever. And, you know, it just remained important for me to, like, keep it organic, keep it natural, keep it honest with where I can move and how I can move, and also where other people are at, you know. And, you know, still planning the thing, still making, you know, like, if there's going to be an event for something, like, still letting that happen. But also being okay to just, like, try to call someone up and be like, oh, hey, are you home? And, like, word, let me come through. And then, you know, we can hang out, catch up for a half hour and just talk about life, you know, and that is also the healing, you know, and I think that is more impactful and stronger when it's not just like, oh, I'm just handing you out these things or just giving you these things because, like, you know, it's mutual aid, it's connecting, but, like, let me actually talk to you, let me actually see who you are and, like, get to see who's in my community, see what your needs are, you know, and that is felt, you know. I know that the people feel that, and to be really seen and not just, like, you know, aided, like, but to actually, like, see that you can grow a relationship that's deeper than just, like, receiving or giving to someone, but, like, you know, making friends, you know. So yeah, you know, that's the way it moves. It's I show up, you know, I reach out and people come through, you know, and it just keeps going naturally in that exchange.
So do you have friends, volunteers? Like, how, you can't do all this yourself, so, maybe you do, but, like, how do you get that help? Or when you go into somebody's home and you realize that, they need more than a lemon ginger turmeric shot, they just need companionship more than just when you visit, or maybe they need help getting somewhere or whatever. Mm-hmm. How do you reach out? What do you, like, what signals do you send out to try to get help?
Mm. Yeah, I mean, if it is, like, more than something that I can offer, then it's usually just, like, putting them in touch with all these awesome things that are happening in the community. Like, yo, like, this big talk is happening at the library that's, like, you know, talking about entrepreneurship. And, you know, like, this is a place you can go to and also meet other people that are maybe feeling similar things. Or, you know, if it's outside of something that I can offer with my own time and energy and, you know, offerings. And as far as, like volunteer help and things like that, so the way it's been working, like, because it's a lot about some, like, people building in their own homes, like, they will be, not the volunteers, but, like, that'll be the help that is needed for building it. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a very intimate experience like that where it hasn't necessarily gotten so big where it's needed, like, volunteers, but there are events that would happen where, you know, say I post up and there's, like, plants and soil and seedlings and stuff like that. Like, oh, like, yo, can you help me, like, teach these kids how to, like, write these labels for, you know, labeling the seed that they planted or something like that. Or in our first year of Grow Black Hudson, we partnered with the community garden, Kitesness Community Garden, and did a whole series of cooking workshops. So that was, like, also, like, you know, a bigger thing where a lot of people who would come through and help, like, set up or carry different materials, or if they had some knowledge, you know, come through. I worked with Sweet Freedom Farm also, that brought some great energy and education behind, like, canning and stuff like that. So, you know, it's really just kind of like reaching out to the people that I know that have this, or just, you know, if we need more hands, like, I feel like it's people are more than happy to actually come through because they're also benefiting from getting to meet their community. So yeah, it works very naturally like that. Like, all right, what is it that is, what's going to happen? What do we want to do? And then see what's needed, or see if it's something that's, like, more of an intimate lesson that, like, you know, we can learn it right here at home.
And at the, especially in the spring and summer, mm-hmm. one of the most elemental things you're doing is you're going into people's yards mm-hmm. Or into their homes and starting seeds, right? And yeah. Growing things.
Yeah, yeah. Starting seeds, planting seedlings, you know, the weeding, you know, all those parts that come with it too, or just, like, dealing with different pests. And then coming to the harvest, you know, and, like, seeing the different stages of everything, how it, like, reaches its peak, you know, because everything, which is my favorite part about it, is that, like, everything has its season, and just also reconnecting to that energy of like eating certain things at certain times, because I do believe that certain or whatever the fruits, the